it's always so good to see you after a week of whatever activities that we have in our daily lives, yeah? And it's 1st of February, 1 month has gone by in 2026. Where did it go, huh? So fast. That means you are enjoying your life. If you have got to contemplate and wait for every minute to pass by slowly, you are not enjoying your life. You are enjoying your life. I always tell my mom said, oh, time flies. You're here again. I said, that's because you're enjoying your life, mom. So good. Well, today I'm talking about the last W. We have got the four W's, which are the mission statement of the church. This is what we are about. We are about the witness of God, about a witness. We're about work. We are about the works. And then I'm covering the last W, which is the word, the word, the word of God. So let's ask the Lord to bless this time as we share. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is bread. Your word is life. Your word is honey. Your word is water that comes and do its work on our lives on a daily basis. We thank you so much for your word. Give us a hunger. Help us thirst for your word, O Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, Pastor Aaron concluded his sermon on a very joyful note because I do take notes. After all these years in the church and in lectures, I still take notes. And he said, he closed the service and he said, there is the joy of your salvation. There is overwhelming joy, overflowing joy, that you'll be overwhelmed with joy and that God wants to come and revive our joy. I thought, wow, this is great, because kara means joy. So anything to do with joy, I am gravitated towards. I says, wow, this is great. I must continue the thread of this thought, of this reflection, where Pastor Aaron left off. And so for today's word, the fourth W, I want to entitle the sharing as Word and the Scripture or the Bible is really the joy book. It is the joy book. If we haven't discovered it yet, hopefully today will give us a little bit of an idea, and then on your own, do discover the joy. I'm sure a lot of you have already discovered the joy that is in God's word. But let's test and see whether or not it is really the joy book. If you know the answer to these questions I'm asking, please raise your hand and answer it as humorously as you can. Because joy does involves humor. It does. Okay? Okay. Did you know that the Bible had tennis in the Old Testament? Oh, that's a question. Yes, Craig. You know there is tennis. Why? Very good. Because Moses served in the courts of Pharaoh. Hang on. What kind of a man was Boaz before he got married? What kind of a man was Boaz before he got married? He was ruthless. Oh. We got a lot of humor and humorous people, huh? Reading the same jokes, huh? In our internet. They drove Hondas in the New Testament. Do you know that? Yeah? Because they rode in triumph. Is there a triumph thing in? Oh, that's pretty good. That's a new one. But I didn't have the same answer, but that's a good answer. They were in one accord. But the new one is a triumph, huh? They're all in one triumph. The road. All right. That's a good answer there. And the last one, let's see whether the Bible is the book of joy. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? So the answer is Samson. Why? Huh? Because he brought down the house. That's a good one. Very good. We have not lost our humor in this house. It's good. It's part of joy. But of course, the answers to these four questions is not what makes the Bible the joy book. You know that, right? The reason why it's a joy book is because people who love the Word derives a lot of joy from the book. And that's why you see in Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah 8, the words, because they were his joy and his delight. He ate the words. He loved it. He is so good. David, the psalmist, says the Word of God is like honey. Wow, if you like honey, the Word of God is like honey. It brightens your eyes. And Peter said, the Word is like the milk. You might not enjoy milk as much as my most recent granddaughter, 2 weeks old. She loves the milk. She derives a lot of joy from the milk. The Word of God is like milk. And so I thought today, it will be good to take from Psalms 119, because that's the resource of the joy of the Word of God. And so Psalm 119, we'll take only from 105 to 112. 105 to 112. And we want to see what are the actions we can take to experience the joy in the Word of God. All right, in Psalm 119, 105 to 112. The first action we can take regarding the Word of God is to connect. And this is found in verses 105 to 106. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws." So connect with the word, because the word is light and the word is a lamp. And the word will come and illuminate your heart, your mind, and your soul, and will provide guidance in your lives. You have heard this before, I'm quite sure. You see, there are many decisions in life, and you know by now, if you're an adult, there are many, many decisions you make. Some big ones, some not so big ones, but there are many decisions to make, right? And there are many decisions in life that we need to have insight. We need to have hindsight. We need to have foresight. And how many of you know that we have got a lot of blind spots and blind sights to us, and that we need the Word of God to come and illuminate our path and to give us guidance? Sometimes we may find ourselves in a very dark place as well. When you are in a very dark place, like just now when Rajiv was singing a song in the middle, I remember when I was singing this song some months ago, even maybe 2 years ago, I was in the middle of a lot of stuff, and it was a very dark place where I need encouragement and illumination from the Word of God. And remembered how the Lord came and helped. But David, the psalmist, says in 119, 130, when you unfold the Word, you see, if you're in a dark place and you need enlightenment, when you unfold the Word, it will give you light. The Word will give you an understanding when you cannot comprehend, when you cannot discern. When you are in the middle of a dark place, you cannot comprehend, you cannot discern. You thought, hey, I'm forsaken. But you take the example of Jesus when he was in the middle of the cross, enduring the pain for humanity. He was not forsaken. Of course, he prayed, oh God, right? I feel forsaken. He felt forsaken. He was never forsaken, because a father is always in the middle of that place. But if you unfold the Word of God during such a time, it will give you the light. I'd like to share the testimony of a very ancient man by the name of John Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist movement. And if you know Pastor Richard Roy, Pastor Richard Roy is somehow related to John Wesley. So interesting to hear someone who is our contemporary being associated with someone in the 18th century. John Wesley, he woke up one morning. How many of you wake up one morning always feeling great? Okay. Always? 100% always, you know, none of us, right? Anyway, John Wesley woke up one morning. He woke up in distress as if he woke up from a nightmare because he just went for a mission trip. It was a failed mission trip. The Native Americans in Georgia weren't responding to the gospel. He felt like a failure in the mission trip. He had also a failed romantic relationship with someone whilst he was there. It didn't work out. Someone got married to another person. And then when he was going to America, he was on this boat voyage. It was so frightening. He was the only one he felt that was frightened. All the other people, whether or not they were Christians or not, he don't know, but they seemed calm. And he came back, he woke up this morning feeling just so terrible. When you're in that place, you need the encouragement and the enlightenment of God's word. And he turned to God's word. In the morning, he read in 2 Peter 1:4, he says, "There were given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, even that we should be partakers of the divine nature." He read this word and his soul was filled with light. And then he read again, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Wow. You don't know the value of these words. You know, until you are in a dark place, when you are not far from the kingdom of God, means you are not far from the light. His soul lighted up. And then in the afternoon that day, on that same day, he read Psalm 130. And this is John Wesley. He says, "Out of the deep have I called unto thee, O Lord. Trust in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his sins." That was like a shaft of light that came into his soul. It lighted up because he was feeling so deep in sin of condemnation. How many of you know condemnation can really darken your world? You feel condemned. Everyone is so good, but not you. Everyone is so healthy, but not you. Everyone is so happy, but not. Condemnation of the soul, so dark. When he read these words that there is redemption and that God will come and redeem, wow, that was like a light. That was like honey to his lips. And in the evening, John Wesley wrote, in the evening at Aldergate Street, he felt that his heart was strangely warmed. The assurance was given to him that God has taken away his sins and that he has saved him from the law of sin and death. John Wesley connected with the word. Connected with the word. And Jesus assured him of his salvation. He wrote later, of course, John Wesley is a preacher and a writer. He wrote later, he says, "Christian joy is an essential, cheerful, and outward expression of inner holiness rather than a somber duty." So if you are very holy, you ought to be very joyful. That's what it is according to John Wesley, because it's not a somber duty to love Jesus. It's not a somber duty to read your Bible. It's not a drudgery, not an obligation to read the Bible. It is the Christian joy. See, the word connects us to Jesus. That's why when we unfold the word, we get light, because Jesus is the light of the world. In the very beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the one that will bring illumination and enlightenment to the words that we are reading. And in fact, in John 8:12, it says, "Whoever connects with Jesus will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Not just life, but you will have the light of life only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank God for this divine connection with the Word, that God gave us a Bible to hold on to, and that as we unfold it, the light that comes out from the book and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that come and connect with us will help us be able to live through this life of complexity, perplexity, calamity sometimes. So no wonder David in Psalm 119:106, note what he says. He says, he took an oath and he confirmed it. There is so much value in the word that he make a double decision. Not just made an oath, he make an oath and he confirm it that he would follow God's righteous laws. So I pray that we will make some double decision today. Right? Not only do I make an oath, I want to confirm my oath. That I will read it, I will meditate on it, I will believe it, and I will act on it. When God speaks to you, act on it. You know, I used to ask God always 3 times. Nowadays, fewer times because I have practiced hearing from God. So don't have to say so many times. Don't have to prove, ask God to prove so many times. Huh? Make this wool wet, make this wool dry, make this thing come down, make this thing go up. Wow, God is not our servant. But when you are younger, that's what you do. These days, we need to be able to take God at His words and be able to act on it. You see, be able to replenish our lamp with oil. The lamp will only give light when you replenish it with oil. You look at me that you don't understand. Of course we don't understand, right? Because we don't use oil lamps in our house unless you've got a barbecue, right? But we use our phones, our electrical torches. You need to recharge your battery. When you come to the Word of God, you need to recharge your battery reading the Word of God, because the more light you have, the longer you are able to go the distance, the more you're able to do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Because when you have the Word of God in you, which is like light, tell you what, there is counsel for every difficulty, because the Holy Spirit is the counselor. There is comfort in every trouble. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And there is guidance in all perplexity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when you read the word opens up and enlighten your soul. Amen? So that's the first action you can take. The second action we can take is a debt. So if you look at verses 107 and 108, we'll read something there. Psalms 119, 107, 108 says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. I would say this, you can adapt to any changing conditions of your life, not because we have got willpower or we are smart. Also, we have willpower and we are smart, but with the help of God and His Word. Things change around us, but God gives us the power to change along. Last time, I don't know how to use the Zoom. Now, by the power of God, I know how to use Zoom. In fact, I do Zoom gym every Tuesday for the last 6 years with my friends in Singapore. Wow, it's pretty smart. Things around us change. We have to adapt. But how do we adapt? God gives us the power through the help of the Word and through the help of the person of Christ. He helps us to change along. One thing that changes life, and I've seen it in people, one thing that changes life is suffering. Would you agree with me? Change the life, man. Your joy got taken away. You used to laugh, now you laugh a little bit only. You used to smile, now it's gone. You don't used to frown, now you frown. Suffering can change our lives. But thank God He gives us solutions in the Word that will help us preserve life. That's what David says. Preserve life even in suffering. Because suffering can take a toll on us and make us feel quite joyless. Have you seen flowers that are dehydrated, their petals start falling and their stems start drooping? That's how people feel. You know what these flowers need? No need to be replaced, of course. But you know, when your spirits are like that flower that is so dehydrated and dying, you know what you need? You need a revival of your soul. Isn't it? The Word of God is the water that comes and refresh our soul. David, the psalmist, said, I have suffered much. And of course he has suffered much, because by the time he wrote Psalm 119, he would have already gone through so many sins in his life. Murder, adultery, there was a power struggle in his family. He couldn't understand why his kids were fighting against each other and against him. There were griefs in the family. People die in the family. There was so much to deal with and so much to adapt to. That's why David in this psalm says, I have suffered much. And then he cried out. He cried out to God and he cried out to the Word of God. He says, preserve my life. You know what's the meaning of preserving your life? Like, keep me breathing. You know, when you're in a dark place, when you are dehydrated and in a bad place, it's like one breath is also difficult. Here it says, keep me breathing. And Lord, don't just keep me breathing, keep me thriving. Keep me raising up my petals again. Let me shine again. Let me be spiritually vibrant again in the face of suffering. What he really asked God is, God, revive me. Give me the soul strength. And I tell you what, we can take a lot of methods to revive our soul. Of course, we can have hobbies. I do all kinds of hobbies. We can read all kinds of books. Do that, please. Because that will also revive your soul. But nothing beats the Word of God that you read that comes alive for you, and it gives you soul strength. It gives you the strength to bear. You thought, oh, when I wake up next morning, I'm gone. No, there's more life. Because the Word of God gives you the ability to adapt, gives you the ability to change, to bear, so that when you transit to a new place, you are able to have the power of God and the goodness of God through His Word, through His guidance, through His illumination, to be able to go through that transit point. Some of us are going through transit points. Some are very difficult transit points. I know of some middle places, some transit points that are really hard to negotiate. You can't see the bend and you want to negotiate the turn. Some of these are really, really tough. I tell you what, the Lord comes in with His Word, not only with power, but also with His goodness to preserve our life. Because God delights to speak to us in the middle, in a hard place. Between the rock and a hard place, God comes and help us adapt to the circumstances. Don't let the distress, the dismay, or the despair get to our minds. The first thing suffering tries to attack is to attack your thoughts, is to wear you down. Oh, I love this graphic, so great. It's to wear you down with negative ideas, dwindles your imagination, kills your dream. How many of you know when suffering comes, it comes to attack your thoughts, your mind, to tell you, I don't think you can do this. It's impossible. You're going to give up. You can't do this. You just can't do this. What's your inner scripts when you are in a bad place? What's occupying your mind? And it's so real. If you are real, there will be a lot of things that will come into your mind to make you feel you're not good enough, you're inadequate, you can't do this, it's impossible. God has left you, God has forsaken, God has cared for this person, but not for you. Give up, give up, give up. But the Word of God comes to lift up your thoughts so that your life is preserved. And David found it to be so true. David found that his brain was the channel that God used to put in His purposes and God's thoughts, which are higher than our thoughts. David found out. And that's why we were told that David was able to be in a attitude of gratitude. I like this, Pastor Aaron. Oh, good word. I like this attitude of gratitude. David will begin to sing songs to the Lord. That's why in that verse it says he was able to freely give God praises. It's the hardest thing to praise God. I can't imagine how the disciples can praise God when they were in prison. When we were in Israel, the prison were not the prison like we have here. So nice. It's quite nice. Over there is just a very small place and without a lot of ventilation and all the rest of it. I don't know how they survived, but they were there. Paul and Silas in the prison, and they were singing praises to God. I tell you what, be radical when you are in a hard place. Sing praises to God. Let the word of God encourage you to sing praises to God. My friend recently asked me to did some checking. And she gave a testimony. She says, you know, she has gone through struggle after struggle, wave after wave of hardship, one battle after another, one test after another. She realized that she had come to the state where she had forgotten to hope. In her thoughts of life, she thinks, I'm going to expect disappointment. I'm going to expect hurt. That's what you get from a broken wall. I'm going to expect life that will not return to me. I'm going to expect this, expect that, you know, because you have been conditioned to think of the worst. And the brain helps you. The brain said, that's right, that's right. You feel hopeless. That's it. If it's trained by the secular world, but if it is trained by God, the brain is such a great tool where God will use to put in His fresh purposes and His fresh life. And she read in Psalm 90, 15, she read it. She says, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. She says, I read this verse and it gave me the joy. It says, make us glad. Even though we are tested, even though we are in trouble, make us glad. When she read it, wow, her world changed, she said. Because God's word came to give her joy. God's word came to dispel darkness, hopelessness. It shatters hopelessness. And God's word came to preserve her life, to help her live again, to help her dream again. Now, if you look at her, and I won't tell you who she is, not from this church, don't start looking. She's very fresh. I was in Prayer Mountain in Korea, and this sign, you know, I always ask the Lord to show signs, and the Lord always shows some publicity signs. And I saw this publicity sign, a banner, and it says, once again. Wow. Resonated with me. And it really spoke to my heart. Once again, God wants to come and freshen us up. Once again, God wants to give us a new dream. Once again, God wants to give us a new vision. This is God. And His word is so living and so active, He wants to speak to you all the time. Hallelujah. God's word comes to help you adapt. So no matter what conditions your life is, you are undergoing some changes, whether it's your development going from work to no work, or going from one emotion to another, or one place to another, or one role to another, whatever it is, God's word come to give us a new dream, a new vision, new life, new energy. This is God's word. Hallelujah. And He loves us from head to toes. You have not forgotten my sermon, huh? God loves you from head to toes. And God loves you. For those who didn't listen to that message, that's fine. God loves you from your head to your toes. The third action you can take to experience the joy of God's word is the word grow. Grow. And that's found in 109 to 110. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. I'd like you to draw joy from the word by growing in one area. I think it's Pastor Pauline's favorite word, grit. It's to grow in grit, grow in courage and resolve. Grow in grit, the Bible tells us, in not forgetting God's word and in not straying from his instructions. Don't stray from his instructions. Don't stray from God's word. Grow in grit. Grow in courage and in resolve, because there are very many distractions out there and there are very many snares, snares that will come and try and trap you. And you want to be free from snares, because if you are free from snares, you are able to walk upright. You're able to not stumble. And you need the word of God to tell you so that you know what to avoid. If you don't know the word of God, you don't know what is the yardstick, you don't know what is the right things, and so you will fall into snares very, very easily. But the word of God comes to sound out the snares and the traps for you. See, a snare is actually a trap. It's a wire loop to actually catch animals. But figuratively speaking, a snare is actually entrapping you or someone in a sticky situation or in a temptation. I don't know how many of you have been in a snare before or have stepped into a snare before. I have once in my life stepped into a snare. It was really scary. I was on my way to the office where I was testifying for one of my clients. And I was there. I didn't know. I wasn't looking because I was talking with the guy and the other person. And there was a snare on the floor. It was actually a string that was tied up. I don't know who tied up, but somebody not so nice put up a loop there. And I actually walked into it. I walked into it, right? And the whole thing just, I think, close up or something. And then I was trying to walk forward. And you know, the snare, when you walk forward and the thing is tight, what happens? You got it. Yeah, you just can't walk forward. In fact, it was so bad, I can still feel the tightness around my legs even right now, because it was so tight, so painful, and I couldn't walk forward. I almost fell over, but I caught myself, regained my composure. That's a snare. That's a snare. And so sometimes in our lives, there are snares that come around and make you trip, make you fall, make you lose courage, make you lose your balance. And we need the Word of God to come and give us the balance. We need the Word of God to come and help us be able to walk upright and walk safely. I can't imagine if we have to always look where we go. How many of you look where you go everywhere you go? Like, you got to look, like, how many of you? No, right? You walk knowing it's safe, right? You know what keeps you safe? You know that you're walking in the authority, in the love, the goodness, and the power of God's word. And therefore, you can walk feeling safe. Are you all feeling safe when you're walking? Good. If you're not always frightened, you need to ask the word of God to come and help. It's true. Call on him. Don't have to pray long prayers. Just say, oh God, I'm so scared. So scared of a lot of things. God, give me the courage to be able to walk forward, not be afraid of things along my path. God delights to come and help us walk uprightly. But we cannot just have grit to follow God's law merely. Because if you only have grit, then it's a lot of clenched fists and a grinding of teeth, like, I got to do this. God gives me very hard commandments to follow. God is a hard God. Remember the parable of the man who was given the talent? God is a hard man, always wanting me to work. If we have grit but no joy, then we are going to lose a lot of benefit there when we are reading the Word of God. God does not want us to be tenacious, but very tense. God does not want us to be steadfast, but very serious. No laughing matter, no jokes. Oh, you're so boring, huh? So serious. God does not want us to be determined, but driven. No, God does not want us to be that. God wants us to be able to have grit and be able to have joy. I was talking with one guy, and he was stepping into senior position, and we were just talking, and he was trying to do his very best to keep up to the expectations of the role. Of course, he wants to do it because he's responsible, right? And he was so bent on learning the Word of God, he ambitiously laid out some big scheme to want to read the Word of God, like want to swallow up everything in the Word of God within a very short space of time. He wants to be powerful. And as I look at him, I love his determination. I love it, you know? Because, somebody really loves the Word of God to the extent it's really wonderful. But I got a feeling that it's not going to be a joyful pursuit. In fact, I think it's going to be quite mechanical because everything that he's going to learn is only to be better at the Word, but he lost his joy. God doesn't want us to have grit, but no joy. God wants us to follow His laws, but with joy. So who do we follow? We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the best exemplar of grit and joy. Jesus would follow His Father to the T. His Father says, humanity needs a Savior, and I need you to be on the cross. Jesus followed the Father's instructions to the T, and He went to the cross. But what happened at the cross? In Hebrews 12:2, we were told the cross to Jesus was a joy set before Him. See, you follow God's law, it's not like drudgery, it's not like a cross, so painful, you know. You follow God's law, and it was to Jesus a joy set before Him. I pray that God will give us a lot of assignments in our lives. Some of us are older, some of us are younger. I pray that God will give us a lot of opportunities, a lot of assignments. And I pray that God's Word will come and minister to you so that the Word of God can come and freshen your life up to treat every assignment God has given to you to be a joy set before you. That way, you will be able to grow not only in accepting assignments, but also grow in your knowledge and also grow in your wisdom and most importantly, grow in your joy. When you are able to do that, then you can understand how Jesus would have felt even on the cross, that He endured the pain and He still feels joyful because His first allegiance is to the Father who gave Him the Word. I pray God will speak to you guys. God has been speaking to me, and I want God to speak to me more. God speak to you guys, give you assignments, and let you have the joy to step into every assignment. And if you don't have it, seek the Word out. Learn from the Word. Let the Word fill you with light, with joy, so that you're able to grow in your spiritual life. Amen. The last word is give. Give is an action you can take to experience joy in the Word. Here it says in 1:1:1:1:2, your statutes are my heritage, inheritance. Your statutes are my inheritance forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This morning, when Pastor Pauline was asked to pray for the service, the first thing she says is, oh Lord, set our hearts to be ready for the service. Wow. To give your fullest attention, to set your heart is to give your fullest attention. Give your fullest attention to the Word, and give your fullest attention to the Word to the very end of your life. I pray that you make a double decision on that, that you let the Word of God accompany you, be your companion till the very end. Have you ever seen couples who set their hearts on each other? Have you ever noticed couples? I noticed mine. when my second daughter was first dating this guy, at that time was this guy, now it's my son-in-law, there was a stain on her car. Nobody could take the stain off, not even herself, not even Henry. We apply all the force. But this guy comes along, his heart was set on my daughter. And he really wanted to get the stain out, and he did. Like, and he fell over after giving it a good clean. He fell over. He really fell over. But the stain was gone. And he looked at my daughter for that look of approval. And of course, my daughter was over the moon, like, nobody could do this for me. Wow. Set on. David set his heart on the word of God. That means he desired the word, he wants the word, he loves the word, he is strongly committed to the word. It gives him joy, it is his special possession, he's emotionally invested in it, and he loved it. He loved it because it is his joy and his delight, and it becomes his inheritance. Do you know when you read the word of God, it not only gives you joy for the present moment, it is actually your inheritance. That's what the Bible says, your heritage, your inheritance. It gives back to you. You are only storing it up as an inheritance. It's very interesting. These days, of course, you know, in your inheritance, you can give away your inheritance even when you're alive, right? Before, it was only when you're dead, then you give away. Now they call it the lifetime inheritance, lifetime giving. You can actually give away your inheritance. I think the word has got so much benefit. If God puts into your heart to give it away to somebody who needs it, give it away. Give it away. Yeah. Of course, be very wise. Don't put big chunks of scripture to a non-believer. You know, you frighten them. Yeah? But whatever the word is, there's a word that God puts into your heart. Give it away. The fourth word here is to give it away. You want to enjoy the word, you give it away. You will find that joy comes back to you. It's really like an investment trust. The more you put into your investment trust, the more you give it away, more is given to you, then the joy bank of your heart overflows. And your investment becomes your inheritance. I just want to share as an illustration of my late brother. You know my late brother. By the way, the last sermon I told you, my late brother received the Lord on the second last day. I just had a check with my brother. Sorry, it's the last day of his life. Last day. My late brother was a non-believer till the last day of his life. God is so divinely kind, so divinely kind. You know, my Bible college lecturer, when he found out that my brother was in this position, he says, I pray that the divine love and kindness of the Savior will touch him. And I always pray the divine kindness of God. And anyway, my late brother was a non-believer to the last day of his life. But 20 years ago, he made an investment with God's word. At my father's funeral, because we talked about the Lord is my shepherd, Psalms 23:1. He was so taken in by Psalm 23:1. I didn't know exactly why he was so taken up by this verse. I later realized it was actually his birthday, 23rd January. So he really liked Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, Che. I said, yeah. Che is an affectionate term for a big sister. He says, can you do something? I say, yes. This is 20 years ago, right? He says, can you buy 5 pairs of chopsticks? I said, sure. How? What? How? You know, tell me. He says, 5 pairs of chopsticks. We have 5 siblings, right? You give to each sibling 1 pair of chopsticks. Then on each chopstick, you put the Lord is my shepherd. I say, that sounds like a great idea. He says, you are the eldest one. You get the. I said, okay. He said, I'm the second one. I get Lord. I said, fine. My third brother gets is. My sister get the. No, my. And then my youngest brother, the one that I told you was the guitar player and the guitar maker, he's the one who got shepherd. I said, that's fantastic. I thank God that my brother chose the word Lord, because at the end of his journey, on his very last day, the Lord truly became his Lord and his shepherd. I was reflecting on it. In a sense, he chose the Lord, But at a more profound sense, as I was reflecting, the Lord chose my brother to be his child at the very last moment. Jesus stayed faithful to his word and to my brother. He fulfilled the word perfectly. He kept the word for my brother. And though my brother was faithless at that time, 20 years ago, God has been so faithful and so divinely kind throughout. In fact, a few days before my brother passed, my brother told me, because he's a minimalistic person, he likes to keep his house minimalistic, you know. He says, "I just want you to know, Jay." I said, "Okay." He says, "I throw away some of the cards you gave me." I said, "Okay." A bit sad, but that's all right. He said, "But I kept the chopsticks." Set your heart on God's word to the very end. Love it. Even though you don't understand it, love it. Because God's word is a joy book and sets you up for life. Because God will supply all your needs. And I don't know all your needs, but God knows all your needs from now to your distant future. God knows your needs and he knows how to fill you with joy according to the glory and the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I like to encourage you with this fourth word, W, which is the word. You connect to it. Connect to it. Because it is the light, it is the lamp in your path. Second is you adapt to all the changing conditions of your life. Don't let your thoughts get you. Okay, get your thoughts. And make sure your thoughts are really subject to the Word of God. Grow in grit and in joy so that you can enjoy all the assignments God gives you and God is about to give you and God will give you right into your future. Grow in grit. Follow God's law, but follow it with joy. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart as you give attention to the word, because the word of God is really your joy and your inheritance. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for your people that we treasure your word as a treasured possession. Because in the word is joy, in the word is our inheritance. More importantly, the word will help us be near to the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Father, I pray for all circumstances in our life that will need your light. I pray that your people will know how to be skillful in your word. And I pray that God, Holy Spirit, you will use your word and speak to your people so that our souls will be enlightened and illuminated. Oh, let there be breakthroughs. Yes, let there be breakthroughs, oh God. Let the light come through. Lord, some of us are in situations that have been too long in the position where it's really getting us down. I pray that, Lord, we will not just be only adapting, getting used to it, but adapting and letting the Word of God take us to a new place. I speak newness once again. I speak the Word once again. Once again, let your joy come back to you. Once again, let the appetite of the Word of God come back to you. Once again, let the light that is in the Word of God shines into your heart and do you good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, amen. Amen.
Pastor Karosh, thank you, Pastor Karosh. Shall we all stand and shall we just respond to the Lord with this song?